Good morning. That was absolutely stunning. That was far and above. Before I begin my message, I'm going to read scriptures here. So I'm going to have you grab your hymnal here quickly. Beautiful scripture that I'm going to read is about our great God and how I want to get my mind in the frame of thought as I bring this message to you. It's found here in Jeremiah 51, in verse 15. Jeremiah 51, verse 15, it says, He has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom, and stretched out to heaven by His understanding. When He utters His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapor to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and He brings the wind out of His treasuries. Our great God giving us a glimpse of His awesome power. And here we are, day 7, reflecting back. We have heard messages that will change our lives. Why are we here? Was one. Welcome to the kingdom was another. A different spirit. We saw in the video, in the pursuit of the kingdom, in a very moving sermon, the warrior king, the loving king on his return. And we also heard, what have we been a part of all these years? But it is plain to see that you are here. Our great God has inspired you and me to be here, to be fed. We have presented ourselves before this living God. We have made it known to Him that we love Him. We love His way of life. We have been blessed so tremendously. We look at what we have. We have our health. We have sound mind that our great God has given us. What more can we say? What more can we utter in our thankfulness for these blessings? We can possibly say we have enjoyed to the fullest this feast and those are to come. Because in my mind, I plan to do that. And I will do that until I draw my last breath. You see, in past years, our brother, our soon coming king, spoke these words in the hearing of the people who were around him, the apostles. And it brings meaning to our lives. Because he knew that at that time, this would be penned. You would be sitting here. And I sometimes still cannot wrap my mind around, a God who's been forever, who saw from beginning to end before there were anything, period. So if you turn to John 7 and verse 37, we will look at these words, and it will lay the basis for this message that you will hear. Now, John 7, verse 37 and 8, and it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. You see, brethren, this earth is covered with this substance like no other. It is a basis for life. And God has showed us in this book how he has framed this substance and how limits have been put on it. Genesis 1, verse 2. Let's go all the way back. Genesis 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering above the face of the waters. And in verse 6, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And in verse 7, it said, thus God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above. Now, if you picture an earth without form and void, it was literally covered in water. How can man exist unless we're a fish? How can we exist if there's no land? And so if you go to verse 9 there in Genesis 1, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place. Let the land appear. And it was so. God had started a process that he knew long before that this needed to be done if we are to survive. Proverbs 8 and verse 29 further defines those limits, those boundaries that he placed on the waters. Then he assigned to the seas its limits, so the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. A plan. God's plan. It's starting to be established here. And he uses water to enhance our thought and our spiritual visualization that defines who our God is and how he will heal this world. Here are some water facts for you. Most of the earth consists of water. There is more water than land. The scientists say the overall amount of water on this planet has remained the same for 2 billion years. Did you know that your body consists of 66% water? Water exists in your organs. It helps to transport the vital functions in your body. You think God was thinking about that when he decided to make man from the primal earth that we've come from in his image? Today, we'll talk about water in a different sense, spiritual living water is what we will talk about. So let us begin. In Revelation 22, our elder brother spoke of a healing. Revelation 22 and verse 1. And it says, and he showed me a pure river, the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. From that water, the earth will be healed. The healing will take place. And God has already thought about it. These things have already been put into motion. You being here at this feast gives you a small glimpse of that. Whether this is your first feast, your 100th feast, but no, not quite. But there are some approaching that mark. But each year is different. Each year is more intense. Have you noticed that? Right around trumpets, things start to intensify in your personal lives. Then comes atonement. Satan pulls out all the stops to prevent you from being here. Discouragements. I've done that, been there. So today we will speak about that abundant substance that's here on this earth that will clarify and make plain in our understanding. You see, the righteous will be given this water when his son returns. Can you imagine from this point forward, time is drawing near. Things are happening that we've read in this book that God says will take place. Where do you think you will be? What will you be doing? It will not be an easy time. Many things just race through my mind as I read these scriptures. And for the grace of God and his loving hand on me, that he calms me down, I'm fearful. But I know that our great God will take care of this. But he tells me, you must be strong. Then how do we get that strength? Lack of study, no prayer, no fasting. We must be prepared. And so, some points to focus on in understanding this living water. One, who will receive it? Where can it be found? And who will lead us to it? If you turn to Revelation 22 and verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come, let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. God has opened your mind. He's opened my mind. He will not force feed you as you read in your daily newspaper, where people are force fed. God will not do this. You are a free moral agent. You will decide. God will give you the tools to make the choice. And so, our great God tells us in a very distinct way, this is the way. There is no other. God the Father tells us, you cannot come to me unless you come through my Son. He is our elder brother. We follow him as he follows God. So we will begin looking at who will receive that water. And we will start with a conversation our elder brother had with a woman of unbelief that will further move us toward a clearer meaning of the purpose of the healing to come. As we have read there in Revelation 22 and verse 1, that water will come from no other place than from God that will heal you. It will heal me. Let us begin this conversation. Turn to John 4. John 4. And we'll start reading here in verse 7. And here it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now let's start the conversation of why this conversation took place. Verse 10, Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And as we can see at that time, there was a separation of the Jews and the Samaritans. Christ here is bringing to light her lack and the world's lack of knowledge outside of the teachings of the apostles that was with him. In reverse, if she would have asked, he would have given her the water of life. But she had no understanding of water of life. And so as we sit here, many years from that date, Christ is talking to you. He's talking to you. He's framing this conversation where we should understand what this water is, what it will do for mankind. In verse 11, the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then you get this living water?" You see, Christ used a figure of speech here, and she perceived it literally. Christ shows here that the water of Jacob's well yield a very short satisfaction whenever water comforts us when we drink. And we know that we will thirst again. I'm looking for water and I can't find any. We will thirst again. But when you take of the living water, you drink it once. And that's all it takes. Our great God has that in store for us, that we will drink. He will not force you. He will call your name. Will you run and hide, as Adam and Eve did in the garden? Or will you say, "Here I am. Where can I find that drink?" It will satisfy your spiritual soul. Another water fact. You can live 1 month without food, or thereabouts. But the scientists say you cannot live that long without water. They say a week, and you will expire. But now that we spoke that, let's hear the invitation. An invitation to life, Isaiah 55, verse 1. Isaiah 55, verse 1. It says, "Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Will you be hesitant when he calls your name?" I remember years and years ago, and I've not seen him in the last couple of years, in failing health, Dr. Zimmerman. And he would pretty much always end a sermon with, "What is your name? What is your name?" And that thing still rings clear for me. My name will be. Only God knows that right now. I have a physical name. But if I come to the invitation, if I say yes to God and His way of life, your name will be called. Matthew 13 and verse 43. Matthew 13, verse 43, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Today we're experiencing a lot of dull hearing. A lot of dull hearing. From what we've done so far, going back to January to this point, with that wonderful meeting we had back in Cincinnati, the Kingdom of God seminars, I can see that our great God has his hands firmly on us. Life is going forward. Blessings is being shared that our God has showed us. And he tells you in Job 17, verse 9, that yet the righteous will hold his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. That was one of the things that I take away from that meeting of the ministers in Cincinnati in January. It was cold, but that building was warm. God showed me, and as all the other ministers who were there, that his love was there. And we have grown stronger and stronger to this point. And more is coming. More. And in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, it says, but the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. God will extend an invitation to all mankind. But now, that invitation is for you. Your mind is open. It is clear. You understand what is in this book that the world seek to know. You have been given that knowledge. You are the holder of this valuable information. Young and old, I can see our young children, young adults, making the transition to adulthood and finally into the family of God. That computer that sits between your ears right now, man can't duplicate it. They're trying. They can't make a machine big enough. It would have to be bigger, 2 times the size of this room, because of the processes that go on in your brain. It is 75% water. 75% water. And you function at the speed of thought. There's no lag. And in Psalm 36 and verse 9, where can this water be found? Where is this life that God is telling us? Psalm 36, verse 9. For with you, the emphasis is on you, is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Light is a blessing. It's a gain. It's joy. Comfort. But God had to deal with his people in a very direct way. Out of Egypt, God looked down from heaven, my children. My children, I will lead them. I will give them great things. They will love me. That was not the case. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Jeremiah 2, verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they have made for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, can hold no water. What God means here is, they made their own gods. Look around you. Back in those days, they had the little pocket gods, little they put in their pocket. What's prevalent today? Christmas, Halloween, Easter. The many little baby angels they have hanging all over the place. These are the gods of this world. And it was no different back then. Because they told God, no, we want to do it our way. And they did. And God had to intervene in a personal way. Jeremiah 17 and verse 13. Jeremiah 17, verse 13, it says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forgotten the Lord, the fountain of living waters. I do not wish to have my name written in this earth. That's an end. That's a complete end. Because this earth will be burned, refashioned, and then God will come back and set up his throne. Gloomy words that are spoken here. But never fear. God's love still shines through. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. We sing this song. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God corrects us, as he will continue to do so. He will continue to give us the tools to become stronger and to enter into his rest. Acts 26 and verse 18. Acts 26, verse 18. And to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Here, God the Father in Christ wants you to fully understand the importance of drinking the water of life, the essence of his very being. Did you know your blood is 80%, 83% water? In it travels our life. And this brings us to point number three. Who is that shepherd that will lead us? There is a shepherd here in this world. And most of the world is dancing to his tune. Who is that shepherd? Revelation 7, verse 17. Revelation 7, verse 17. For the Lamb who in the midst of the throne will shepherd them, lead them to the living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In Zechariah 14 and verse 8, in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half toward the eastern sea and half toward the western sea, in both summer and winter. We will see, and we have read, the finalization of God's plan. And as we began this sermon today, I can't leave without reading this scripture. Revelation 21, verse 6. Revelation 21, verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. And in John 7 and verse 37, that last day of the feast, Christ said, if anyone thirsts, come to me and drink. Brethren, we have come. And we believe. We must begin to prepare ourselves for receiving of this water. This Feast of Tabernacle is a dress rehearsal for us. And we must redeem the time. Last scripture, Isaiah 11, verse 2. Here is this water that God is talking about that we ought to internalize. Isaiah 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Can you imagine a warm stream just flowing over you? Feeling the warmth from that water? And just picture in your mind that warm embrace of your Father. It is vital, brethren, that we hold fast and firm to that foundation of life. The words of encouragement we've heard these past 7 days are truly wonderful. So, brethren, let us drink in deeply, for the kingdom awaits.